Let us then turn in God's Word to 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll read together the whole of the chapter as our text and as our scripture reading this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 6. As we continue looking at Samuel, or at David, we come to the bringing of the ark back to Jerusalem and what that is and the events that go on around that, some of them sad, many of them very happy. And we see that David learns a very important lesson here. Now, these things are about God. These things aren't about man. So let us read together the word of Almighty God from 2 Samuel chapter 6. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God, took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, "The king, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. And I will even be more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, in this passage, David learns something very important. David learns to fear God. Now, he certainly had that fear across all of his life, but we have to understand that there is a manner of fear in which we are called to fear God, to have a righteous respect for Him. And yet at that same time, notice what David does. At first, when he really is struck by this fear, when Uzzah dies because he touches God's ark, David pushes God away. He says, "Whoa, I can't have God nearby me. I can't have this ark of the covenant nearby." But then notice what happens. That as God blesses the household of Obed-Edom, David realizes, yes, God is dangerous. God is not safe because we're sinners. But we are called to obedience, and that we are called to hold fast to God, to come as close as we humanly can, to come into His presence regularly, to worship Him, to read His Word in our studies day by day, to hold God close to us, because without Him, if we try to go the way of the world, we're going to die in that sin and go to hell. We need God. And David needs God. And he rejoices then. And certainly that has problems, and we see those going on later for him. But we have to understand David's answer is right. It's not about my dignity. We live in a culture that wants to be respected. I want to be big and important from a physical standpoint. And what's so important is that God be glorified, the honor of God. And that's what David learns, is to honor God correctly according to His commandments. God tells us how to honor Him. We live in a culture that says, "Oh, we do it according to our ideas, any way we want to." Well, I'm sorry. God is very specific, and God is jealous that we do things the way He tells us to, not in any manner we would desire. And so as we look at this passage of God's Word, the theme that we want to see is David learns what it means to fear God and to celebrate His gifts. That's the theme that we want to see in our passage. David learns what it means to fear God and celebrate His gifts. In the first 11 verses, we see that David seeks to bring the ark to Jerusalem. In verses 12 through 19, we see that David learns to do things God's way. And in verses 20 through 23, we are called to rejoice in God, and that is about God, not man. So David seeks to bring the ark to Jerusalem. David gathers together the chosen men, 30,000 men. When we read the first verse of this chapter, it sounds like he's going out to do battle. Chosen men. But they arose and they all together went to retrieve the ark. And they go to where it had been set on the way back in from the Philistines. And what do they do with it? They put it on a new cart. This is what the Philistines had done in ignorance. This is not what God had called Israel to do. The ark was to be carried by its poles, covered with a very special cloth between two men carrying it. And there needed to be certain things going on, trumpets that David then does hear later on. And so the ark is being brought out of the house of Abinadab, where it had been set after it had come back from the Philistines. And Abinadab's sons, Asa and Ahio, were driving the cart, we're told. The ark had been in their house. We read in verse 4 that the ark, that Ahio was walking in front of the ark. That probably means that Asa was toward the back of the ark on this cart. And so David and all of the house of Israel played music before the Lord. This was a celebration. The ark had been in exile. The ark represented the presence of God, the special presence of God among Israel. It had been brought down, and remember how much the Israelites had been excited when it came into the camp. But then it had been lost to the Philistines. And when it came back, Saul was so bent on killing David that he had barely given it a second thought, and it had been set aside then in Abinadab's house. And now that David has become king, and this is a number of years later already, it was time for the ark to come back to the capital of Israel. It was time for the ark to take its place in the tabernacle and the worship to continue correctly, and that God's presence would be symbolized, would be there in the midst of Israel. Now remember, brothers and sisters, how much more awesome what we have is than the ark of God. The Holy Spirit dwells within each one of us as God's servants. And so we don't have to wait for the ark to be somewhere. We don't need an ark. Wherever Jesus says two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. We are the temple of God. That's what Paul says writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But here, the presence of God symbolically had been off shelved in a corner. And David, because his heart was desirous to serve God, and notice he doesn't get it right always. We don't get it right always. But David wanted to bring God and his worship front and center where it needed to be. And so this is a great celebration. 30,000 of the choice men of Israel. An honor guard going with that ark to Jerusalem. Think about the pomp and the circumstance that was going on. And all of a sudden, at nation's threshing floor, this cart lurches. Boom! And the ark is falling. We don't know how, we don't know exactly what's going on. But Uzzah reaches out to steady the ark so it wouldn't fall on the ground. He's trying to do a thing that he thinks is an honor to God. Now remember, he's lived with this thing in his house. And remember as well that they had been trained how to deal with the ark. And yet, they're not following God's commandments. God is very particular about how we do things. We have to understand that. And so Uzzah sticks out his hand to steady the ark, and he falls dead. God strikes him down. That ends the party right there, doesn't it? They were celebrating God, but they weren't obeying his commandments. God requires us to follow his commandments in life and in worship. Remember Nadab and Abihu, who thought that they were worshiping God too and brought incense that wasn't the right mix into the tabernacle. They were worshiping God not according to his commands, and they were struck down for it. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and chapter 6, God says, don't look at the people around you and say, how did they worship God? We're going to do likewise. We don't come up with our own ideas of how to deal with God. We are called to be very careful, to be obedient to his commandments. People tell us as Reformed people, well, you guys are so strict about these things. We seek to be obedient to God because God is very strict about these things. When it came back, after it had been in captivity in 1 Samuel 6 verse 19, God struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had touched and looked inside of the ark. And 50,000 and 70 men of the people of Israel died. God is not someone we mess around with. When we worship God, we need to understand that we are not doing something that we can just fall off of a log and do. We need to have our faculties with us. We need to be doing this according to God's commandments. And notice David's reaction then to this. David was angry at God because God had ended his party. He renamed the place Perez Uzzah, or Outburst Against Uzzah. And the writer of 2 Samuel says, as it is to this day. Now you can understand, at least at the beginning, David's response. That God, whom he was trying to honor, bursts out. We say, well, we're trying to worship God. We're trying to serve God. God doesn't want it. Well, if we're doing it wrong, we need to understand how important this is. And so David fears God, we're told. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? How can I bring his presence to me if it's this dangerous? It's even more dangerous to be without it. We have to understand that. Yes, worshiping God. Yes, God is not safe. But it is far, far, far more dangerous not to worship God than it is to worship God in fear and in reverence and to seek to be obedient to God. The fear of the Lord, we're told by the writer Solomon, David's son, writing Proverbs, is the beginning of wisdom. How can the ark come? God's liable to do this again. We need to understand. It is a fearful and a terrible thing to come into the presence of God, and that's what we do Sunday morning. We need to learn to do God's things God's way, and that's what we read in these verses 12 through 19. Notice the first part of verse 12. Obed-Edom is blessed for caring for the ark. His all that belonged to him prospered. And this information is brought to David. And David says, well, then we've got to go get it. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing of God's presence is far more wonderful than the danger which it represents to us. We need to understand that. And this is again done with gladness. David has learned that in right fear and doing things right, we're not in danger. But if we think we're going to do whatever we want with God, be very afraid. And so David tries the second time to bring the ark to Jerusalem. Notice right away in this second try, verse 13, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, was it back on a cart? He had learned to do things the right way. And that's what we have to learn as Christians as well, is that we are to do things God's way. We don't do things man's way. That's dangerous. But doing things God's way is the way to eternal blessing. Blessing on this earth and blessing eternally. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. Notice that there is a celebration, a greater celebration this time than there was the previous time. Because they were doing it God's way. In that is safety, in that is joy. When we are obedient to God. David had read the Bible, had learned how to care for the ark as God had commanded, and David danced before the Lord. This was a celebration of God, of his blessings, of his presence, as it was represented by the ark. Psalm 149, verse 3, let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. Now, we have to be careful, and I believe I've already made mistakes in the sermon, ever so slightly. Does that mean that we can dance and worship? This was not a worship service. This was not an example for us of how they did worship in the Old Testament. This was the excitement of God's people bringing the worship of God to where it needed to be, because they weren't able to worship correctly without the ark in the tabernacle where it needed to be. And so David danced before the Lord. David danced as part of this time of celebration of God. But not all that celebrates God is necessarily. And that means there's things we can do in worship or can't do in worship that we can do in regular life. And by the way, there are things we can do in worship that we can't do in regular life as well. Because we're in the presence of God in worship. And God has very clear things that we are called to do in worship. And so David celebrates as the ark then comes into Jerusalem. And we have this little vignette that Michael looks out the window to see David coming into the city. For some reason, she's not a part of this celebration of all Israel. Now, there may be plenty of reasons, but if she was really excited for the coming of the ark, she would have been out there with the celebration. Now, there's probably embarrassment here. Her father had been him who had gotten the ark lost. But she had married David. She had loved David before, when her father hated him. And so there's some confusion going on here. And yet at the same time, we have King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despises him with her heart. Now, it's hard not to be a part of the party. We need to understand that about those who can't worship with us week by week. But at the same time, we need to be a part of that celebration of God. That God has saved us, that God's presence is here in a very special manner, and that we are called to worship Him. And David is absolutely unaware of this, of course, and is celebrating and places the ark correctly into the temple into the tabernacle that David had set up. And David offers burnt offerings and peace offerings to God, which couldn't have been done without the ark there. All of these things were brought into right purpose with the ark in its right place. And so it is a wonderful celebration. And when they finished the offerings, David, as their king, blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And David distributed food for the celebration, a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, a cake of raisins to every person. This was a rich and a lavish celebration. And so David goes home to his own house to celebrate, to bless his house. And Michal, his wife, Saul's daughter, meets him outside of the door. And she rebukes David for what she sees as undignified behavior. That David had been dancing in a manner that probably would have uncovered himself somewhat, like one of the drunk fellows, she says. And David responds. David defends the undignified behavior in God's honor. This is about God. And we have to understand, David corrects her. It was before the Lord. It was about God that I was celebrating. This wasn't about the maids. The maids honor me, because I am going about as the king, worshiping him who needs worship, God. And then David says something, and I struggled. How do we deal with what David says here? And notice that it has two meanings. I think that's important. For David, it's the gift of God. He's representing to her, saying, look what God has done for me. But to her, it's a slap upside the face. You have to realize that. What does he say? It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. Notice, to him, it's a confession of God's gifts. He's saying, look what God has done for me. And to poor Michael, saying, look what God took away from your father. And you have to realize that Michael is in her whole life is in a very difficult position. But we have to understand, therefore I will play music before the Lord. I will be even more undignified than this. I will be humble in my own sight. As I said, we have people today who say, I want the respect of the world around me as a Christian. Guess what? That ship has sailed. The world will not respect us as Christians. Get that through our heads. That's not what's important. God is who is important. If we are honoring God according to His commandments, notice David has figured this out. And poor Michael still has not. I will be humble in my own sight. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Far rather that the world disrespect us and that God be glorified and honored than that we get the respect we think we deserve and we throw God to the side. How often does that happen in science? Well, God says, but, well, I can't really stand against all of these people who say otherwise. Well, when the evidence shows, the evidence shows. And when we study science according to God's word, it comes up right every time. But the world studies these things in rebellion against God. They're not going to respect us. I don't care what we do. But we need to be honest before the Lord. We need to be doing these things in His service. And David has learned to honor, to fear God, to serve Him correctly. And we have at the end of this passage, in the midst of this day of celebration, I think a very sad epitaph. Michael had no children to the day of her death. We need to pity her. She is a tragic person in Scripture. Going back, she had loved David against her father's wishes. When David had run from Saul, now she was given in marriage to some other guy. When David had returned and become, he hadn't even become king of Israel yet, part of getting to him to be king of Israel was that she was called back to be David's wife. And we have to see her sitting on the sidelines. And we see that stark contrast. And I don't know where her soul is. I hope, I pray, I think by God's grace, she is a saved person. That's not my decision. But even in the midst of being saved, sometimes we feel like we're sitting on the sidelines. We need to realize the wondrous grace of God saves sinners of all sorts. And so it is my hope, it is my understanding and belief that she's a believer. Despite the fact that, yes, she had her issues. But brothers and sisters, we need to see the wonder of what it means to hold God close to us. It's a dangerous thing. But it is far more dangerous to push Him away. That God who is Almighty, God of the universe, is my God and blesses me in His mercy, in His grace. That we are called to look and to study God's Word so that we know what we're doing is right. Because ignorance is not an excuse. We need to be careful to be obedient, and to see the joy that is involved in obedience. And to partake of that, not to stand on the sidelines and let other people, but to get in and to rejoice in the awesome Savior. The Savior who came into this world to save sinners. Look at that love of God. That grace of God to me, miserable sinner, to us. And brothers and sisters, let that be our hope. Yes, God wants us to worship Him. God wants us to serve Him very carefully. But the blessings which God gives are innumerable. The joy which God gives is unsurpassable. And brothers and sisters, let us rejoice in that fact. The wonder of the blessings of God, which He gives to us sinners in His grace. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in Your gifts to us. We rejoice in the fact of Your presence, that You are with us and that You do not go away from us. You do not leave us or forsake us. And we thank You, O Lord, for Your wondrous presence, for Your wondrous gifts, which You give to us of eternal life, of a purpose within this world, that You give to us a reason for living. And we pray, Lord, that we would live as those who are laying up treasure for eternity. We pray, O Lord, that we would have a righteous fear of You. That we would fear crossing You and disobeying You. And yet at that same time that we would hold You close as He whose blessings are unsurpassable. We pray, O Lord, that You would bless us to show Your glory and Your honor in everything that we say and do and think. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.